actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 28, 2023. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and outlooks are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Please tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, and here we've received reception reports from around the world. From Maxim Mikhailichenko from Russia, Ayush Kumar Das from India, and Mate Holosi from Hungary. So, Maxim, Ayush, and Mate, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you for the reception reports. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. From Brazil, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Robens Fras Pedroso. Ayush Kumar Das from India has sent us an email. From Hungary, we received an email from Mate Holosi. From India again, we've received an email from Sia. And the last but not the least is an email from Italy from Maurizio Vecchi. Stay with us, please. I will be back with these emails. Welcome back. So as I said, from Brazil, we've received an email from Robens Fras Pedroso. So let's see what Robens says. Hello, my dear friends. I hope you're doing well. I'm sending you more reception reports from Brazil. I would like to receive your station's QSL card if possible. Until the next contact, all the best wishes for all. Salam and warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for this email. I think in Brazil, which is located in Southern Hemisphere, the weather is a little cool. It's cooler than what we are experiencing in the Northern Hemisphere. So why don't you tell us about the weather and your experiences in your country, Robens Fras Pedroso from Brazil. We would be glad to hear that. Anyway, appreciations to you for the reception reports you send to IRIB English Radio, as well as your email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as confirmation, Robens Fras Pedroso from Brazil. Anyway, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And of course, We are waiting for more emails and messages and your views about IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, Rubens Fras Pedroso from Brazil. From India, we have an email from Ayush Kumar Das. Ayush says, "Dear sir or madam, I want to say that the reception report is enclosed to this email. Please find and issue a QSL card or EQSL to verify them. Also send me some new programs guide and some beautiful postcards. I hope you will send me a letter soon as possible with a new QSL and picture postcards. Thanks and best regards." Salam to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Ayush Kumar Das from India. Please accept our warm gratitude to you for this email. For your information, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio at the current moment is not possible, so please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to your email. And you can find our programs guide and the frequency guide at our website at parstoday.ir/en. Anyway, we wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Ayush Kumar Das from India. And after a short break, I will be back with you. So let's see what Mate Holosi from Hungary says. Mate Holosi is one of our old and regular listeners. Mate says, "Dear IRIB, I'm writing to you in order to share my reception report from the city of Debrecen, Hungary. Reception wasn't the clearest at the start of the program. At the beginning, the program was clearly hearable. I'm a regular listener of your radio station. Your radio station helps me to get to know more about your country. If you think that my report was helpful and you liked it, I would very much like a QSL card sent to my address. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran to Mate Holosi from Hungary. Please accept our warm appreciations to you for this great email. Thank you very much for letting us know about the trouble you had regarding the quality of the reception. But don't worry, please. Because our technicians and engineers will fix the problem about the quality of the reception if the problem is on our behalf. We are so happy to receive this great email from you, Mate Holosi from Hungary, and we are glad to hear that IRIB English Radio is a good source to know more about the Islamic Republic of Iran. For you, Mate Holosi, thank you. So write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Mate Holosi from Hungary. Thank you. Again, from India, we've received an email, this time from Sia. Sia says, "Dear staff, I will be grateful if you send me a QSL verifying my reception report enclosed to this email. Please send a letter or a card where you include a specification that I have really heard your station. I will thus have an evidence of having heard your station here in my country. Your QSL card is very important to me. Thanks." Salam and greetings to you, Sia from India, and thank you very much for this email. Of course, Sia from India, we will send you an EQSL or electronic QSL as confirmation to your email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and we are waiting to hear more about your views about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. Sia from India, thank you again. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. From Italy, we've received an email from Maurizio Vecci. Maurizio says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, here is my report on reception of Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. I would appreciate if you can check out your station log. If my report is correct, I would be grateful to receive in return your station QSL card with the time, date, frequency of this report mentioned on it. The broadcast in English and the presenter was talking about Iran's news, a country I love. I've been there 3 times and I would like to travel again anytime. Thank you for taking time to read my email from Italy. Yours sincerely." Salam. Greetings to you. Ciao. Maurizio Vecci from Italy. Please accept our appreciations to you for this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as confirmation to your email. And you mentioned that you've been to Iran 3 times. That's so great. So, as a suggestion, Maurizio Vecci from Italy, why don't you share your experiences of your journey to Iran with our, great listeners around the world? We would be very glad if you could share your experiences in your upcoming emails about your being in Iran and your journeys to Iran, because you said you've been in Iran 3 times and it's great. So let us know your experiences in Iran. So Maurizio Vecci from Italy, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So we had a really great time together, and saying goodbye is hard. So before saying goodbye, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters, including Maxim Mikhailochenko from Russia, Ayush Kumar Das from India, Mata Holosi from Hungary, Robens Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil, as well as Maurizio Vecci from Italy and Sia from India. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Allahu ya Allah. Allah, Subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah, walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah. Allahu ya Allah, wallahu akbar.
May 13, 1984. Place, Husseiniyah Jamaran, Tehran. If Iran takes a step towards the U.S. and the Soviet Union, all will praise Iran. However, since it moves in contrast to their path, almost all mass media act against Iran, and as you see, they assert this unequivocally. Their agent, who cannot openly express that Islam is a threat, say Iran is against Islam. You ulama who have come from around the world should cling to the tradition of the Holy Prophet and Immaculate Imams of Islam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Hajj. In one of his speeches, he mentions that this great house is built for mankind and for the uprising of mankind, which is known as Qiyam al-Nas. Now, he talks about the Kaaba, basically. When we go to the Hajj, we do Tawaf. And when we perform rituals, obviously, it is all towards Kaaba. Even when we pray, we face towards the Kaaba. And then we pray our daily prayers. Now, Imam Khomeini is talking about this house of God, that it was built for the mankind and it was built for the uprising of the mankind. What does it mean? It means that the Hajj is the media. It's the source of media. It is the source of conveying the truth to the mankind. We know that in today's world, we have different kinds of medias which are used, and the news that are mostly being said, these are the fake news. For example, the Islamophobia around the world, it is based on the false. It is based on the falsehood. The Islam is the religion of peace. But still, we can see there are people who have the phobia of Islam, and the Islamic phobia is being spread by the arrogant powers, by the enemies of Islam. And there are different propagandas that are happening, or there are occurring during the rest of the year. But the Hajj is the time when every single Muslim is there from different parts of the world. They're gathered together, they see each other, they talk to each other, they communicate with each other, they convey what they have seen or what is their reality.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi.
The Hajj is the mean, it's a media to convey the truth to the others. It is the mean of telling the truth, making people aware of what is really happening. Imam Khomeini says that this great house, this Kaaba, where everyone gathers on the Hajj, we have people from around the world who are coming there, who see each other, who talk to each other, who communicate with each other. This house is built for the mankind. Why? Because the mankind gathers in this house. And also, it is not just the place of gathering, but it is the place for uprising for the mankind. And we know that there will be a day when the Imam of the time will have the reappearance, and his reappearance is in the Kaaba, and that is the real day of uprising of mankind, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
إلا الله. Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Now let's listen to the second verse of chapter Nur.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الزانية والزاني فاجلدوا كل واحد منهما مئة جلدة ولا تأخذكم بهما رأفة في دين الله إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وليشهد عذابهما طائفة من المؤمنين.
The unmarried woman or unmarried man found guilty of sexual intercourse, lash each one of them with 100 lashes, and do not be taken by pity for them in the religion of Allah, if you should believe in Allah and the Last Day, and let a group of the believers witness their punishment.
As you were previously with us, dear listeners, and we concluded in the previous episodes, we mentioned that this verse contains three commandments. The first commandment is the commandment of punishing fornicatress and fornicator. And also the verse puts emphasis on the matter of not being triggered by compassion and sentiments while executing the punishments prescribed by the Almighty Allah. The third commandment was the commandment of the attendance of a group of believers in that very place where the judgment of punishment, where that ordinance is being executed and the sentence that Almighty Allah has set is being carried out. That is because of what that wrong action has manifested in the society. And for cleaning that, some people must be present at the scene. So those people have to be believers. This is what the verse of the Holy Quran says. Now, based on different parts of this verse, we will try to infer some points regarding different parts. The point is that the function of women in creating unlawful relations and preparing preliminaries of fornication is more considerable than that of men. And on the contrary, in some sins like stealth, men have more function. So in this verse, the Arabic word zaniya, or fornicatress, precedes the word zani and fornicator. So the verse says, az-zaniyatu waz-zani. First, the fornicatress, and then the fornicator. The second point is that in order to correct the wrongdoer, and in order actually to protect the public chastity, bodily punishment is necessary. It's not just enough to make sure that they have understood, they have taken their lessons, and they will be on the right path from now on. No. Bodily punishment is necessary for correcting the wrongdoer, and also people, those believers who have to attend at the scene, they must know that this bodily punishment is there for correcting their society. Because the verse says, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدَ. This is explicitly saying that ordinance. Dear listeners, there are some other points that we will talk about later on, so stay with us.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Dear listeners, as you were previously with us, we were discussing some of the points regarding this second verse of chapter Nur. Now, as you know, the verse says, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا. Scourge you, each one of them. So, what we understand is that in a liaison and intimacy, both parties must be punished equally. Although the word zaniya precedes the word zani, the fornicatress must be punished first, and this is what the verse suggests, but both parties must be punished equally. Each one of them. فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا. And another point that can be understood from the verse is that the amount of punishment must be measured by the Almighty Allah. So, mi'ata jalda is what the Almighty Allah has prescribed for such wrongdoings. And in punishing wrongdoers, it is forbidden to be influenced by compassions and sentiments. You do not have the right to actually improvise on your own, to move further based on your own judgments. No, this is the divine ordinance, and the punishment is prescribed by the Almighty Allah. 100 stripes, mi'ata jalda. And compassion and kindness must be inside the range of religion. Religion says where to use and apply kindness and compassion. And of course, this religion is the religion of mercy and compassion and kindness. But when that wrongdoing has surfaced the society, it has been manifested, then there is no room for kindness and compassion, because this is when the society raises and the question about the corruption in the society is raised. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Subcontinent.
The Subcontinent.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Subcontinent, a weekly show that aims to address the most significant issues in the South Asian region. And in today's episode, we'll be discussing two major issues: Pakistan holding the US responsible for the delay in the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project, and also Iran and Pakistan inaugurating a border market and a power transmission line.
In this special episode of The Subcontinent, we will discuss Pakistan holds the U.S. responsible for the delay in the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project. And we shall also take a look at Iran-Pakistan inaugurate border market and power transmission line.
Concerns have been raised by Pakistan's Public Accounts Committee over the payment of $18 billion in penalty if Islamabad fails to go ahead with the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project. Slamming the hypocrisy of the United States, the chairman of the committee said that the penalty should be paid by the U.S. if it's not allowing Pakistan to proceed with the gas pipeline project with Iran. U.S. sanctions on Iran and pressure from Washington on Islamabad have been cited as the main reasons by Pakistan for the delay in the completion of the gas pipeline project.
The energy-starved South Asian Muslim country has recently blamed the U.S. for the delay in the completion of the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project. Noor Alam Khan, head of the Public Accounts Committee, a transparency watchdog for all ministries and public agencies of Pakistan, said that the U.S. should pay the penalty if it does not approve of Pakistan and Iran going ahead with the gas pipeline project. He said that the United States of America will have to do away with its double standards. On the one hand, America is being lenient with India in meeting its energy needs, while on the other hand, it is punishing Pakistan for fulfilling its energy demands. Pakistan has been reiterating that it regards the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline important, especially in the emerging regional situation. According to the Foreign Ministry of Pakistan, Islamabad has been exploring all possible options, including close engagements and meaningful exchanges with relevant parties, especially Iran and the United States. The ministry further said that Pakistan is committed to the pipeline project.
According to strategic relations experts, the gas supply Islamabad would receive from Tehran through the new pipeline would ease Pakistan's energy security woes considerably, and this should have provided enough motivation for Pakistan to complete the project. However, the ground reality is otherwise.
Pakistan roughly needs $3 billion to complete the construction of the pipeline on its side, which stretches over an area of 781 kilometers. The amount happens to be far less than the penalty of $18 billion it will have to pay if the project is not completed by early 2024. In recent months, the cash-strapped country has suffered a huge energy crisis, with European buyers hoarding liquefied natural gas at higher prices to overcome the loss of access to Russian oil. At this point, the energy trade between Iran and Pakistan can help solve Islamabad's worsening energy crisis.
The gas sales purchase agreement was signed between Iran and Pakistan in 2009. Iran completed its side of construction in 2011. However, even after 14 years, Islamabad has still not been able to complete the construction of the pipeline portion assigned to it. The pipeline was meant to be completed by December 2014. The first flow of gas from Iran to Pakistan was intended to start from early 2015. Pakistan has been reiterating that the failure from its side to complete the project within a stipulated time has been because of the difficulties caused by the U.S. pressure on Islamabad. According to foreign relations analysts, the unjustified U.S. sanction on Iran has created roadblocks for Islamabad to proceed with the construction of the gas pipeline. Holding the United States responsible for the delay in the completion of the project, the analysts say that America needs to revisit its foreign policy, as its faulty approach is damaging the faltering economies in the region. In an agreement signed between Interstate Gas Systems of Pakistan and the National Iranian Gas Company, Iran has agreed not to approach any international court if Pakistan completes the project by 2024. However, Islamabad's failure to build its infrastructure section will lead to a penalty of $18 billion for the South Asian Muslim country already battling with economic crisis.
Now, to have more insight on this, we are joined by journalist and researcher Mr. Adnan Amir from Islamabad. First of all, welcome to the program, sir. Now, let's talk about Pakistan blaming the U.S. for the delay in the gas pipeline project. Islamabad has said that the U.S. should be paying a penalty of $18 billion. Now, do you see the U.S. taking the responsibility of its misdeeds in the region?
No, I don't think that U.S. will take responsibility for its actions, because this current world order is dominated by the U.S. And whenever it sets sanctions on any country, it expects all the countries to abide by the sanctions. And if anybody does not follow those sanctions, then they are going to pay the price. So Pakistan itself is a very relatively economically weak country. It's dependent on the West. It's dependent on the Western monetary institutions such as IMF. So that's why Pakistan cannot afford to go against U.S. when it comes to sanctions. So Pakistan is paying the price, not only in the form of the penalty that it might have to pay to Iran, but also there is a severe shortage of gas in Pakistan, and there is no other way Pakistan can import it. It can easily get it from Iran, but because of the U.S. sanctions, Pakistan cannot get it. So now there is a growing realization in Pakistan that Pakistan should go ahead with this project and complete this Iran pipeline gas project. And the one way for doing it is that Pakistan asks U.S. to give it waiver, just like U.S. has given a waiver to India when it purchases oil from Iran.
Just like you mentioned, Mr. Amir, according to Islamabad, the U.S. has been lenient in its approach towards India's purchase of oil from Russia. So what can be the reason for this hypocrisy with regard to Pakistan?
I think now India perceives Pakistan and India in a very different way. Since 2006, U.S. is bracketed Pakistan with Afghanistan, and they consider India to be a regional power. And that's why, due to India's huge population and its economy, U.S. treats India in a favorable way. So if India wants something, if it wants to buy oil from Russia, then U.S. is always there to provide a waiver. And in the same way, because India is also purchasing oil from Iran, and the U.S. has also provided it a waiver. So I think the reason for having double standards for India and Pakistan is because Pakistan's economy is too small, and Pakistan does not matter, is not as important for US as compared to India in terms of geostrategic terms, which is a double standard. But if we see on the global chessboard, that's how everything plays out, because every country is there to look after its interest. US is looking after its interest when it's preferring India over Pakistan, and likewise, Pakistan should also look for its interest, and which is currently served by Pakistan imports gas from Iran.
Mr. Amir, $18 billion is a huge amount for a cash-starved country like Pakistan. So the question is, how is the country already under economic turmoil going to deal with the crisis situation?
Well, let's be clear about it. Pakistan is in no position to pay this penalty to Iran. Pakistan's foreign exchange reserves are just $4 billion, and there is a reduction on them with the passage of every day. We can barely import, we can barely pay for 1 month of imports. So there is no way Pakistan can pay this $18 billion damages to Iran. And I think that's one of the reasons that now the government of Pakistan has realized that they have to find a way to settle this matter with Iran, because they cannot pay this amount. So the same thing happened to Pakistan in the Recordic case, where there was an international arbitration, the TCC, Chittagong International Court for Settlement of Investment International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes, and that ICSD gave a verdict in favor of that company TCC, and Pakistan was asked to pay fines of around $7 billion. So there was no way Pakistan could pay them. So what the government of Pakistan did, they settled the matter out of court with the TCC, and they again allowed them to extract minerals from the Recordic project. So it's clear that if the Iran took this matter to arbitration next year, then Pakistan is in no position to pay the damages, and that's why it's a more feasible and it's more wise thing for the Pakistan to seriously consider working on this pipeline, constructing the pipeline in its territory, and ensuring that it abides by all the timelines based on the agreement that Pakistan has with Iran, so that this penalty can be averted.
And last but not least, due to its ongoing energy crisis, the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project holds great importance for Islamabad. So do you see Pakistan making any headways in the project?
Well, I think the government of Pakistan is seriously considering to start working on this project, because there are multiple reasons for it. First is, again, this $18 billion penalty that they have to pay, which they cannot pay. They have to avoid it. Secondly, there is a serious energy deficit in Pakistan, and there is no other supplier apart from Iran. So this is the only option that Pakistan has. And thirdly, I think because now Pakistan is moving a bit away from US and closer to China, and then there was this Saudi-Iranian rapprochement sponsored by China. So I think all these geostrategic reasons of this geostrategic chessboard that is taking place, it also favors Pakistan if it goes ahead with this deal. And the only problem is the US sanctions, and Pakistan has to find a way around it. And I think just like Pakistan got a waiver from US to purchase oil from Russia, I think in the same way, Pakistan, if it presses too hard, it might get a waiver from US sanctions, and then it might be able to import a gas from Iran, which is in the interest of Pakistan. And a few days back, the Pakistani Prime Minister and Iranian President met at the Pak-Iran border area, where they inaugurated a market and 100 megawatt electricity supply that Iran is providing to Pakistan. So I think that's a good beginning, and the government of Pakistan would definitely want to build further on this. And they are really interested, and they are really making efforts to find a way so that this Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project can start.
On that note, I would like to thank journalist and researcher Mr. Adnan Amir from Islamabad for being on the program. Thank you, sir. Now let's see what people around the world had to say.
Aisha Khan tweeted, "Very positive and right step for struggling economy. Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline should also be completed without further delay." Dr. A. Kadir Memon wrote, $18 billion in penalty if the country did not go ahead with the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project. Heather Mohataram tweeted, latest PAC logic, if Iran imposes a penalty for not completing Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline, then USA should pay it, since it is because of sanctions imposed on Iran. Pakistan wants the U.S. to respond if there is indeed any impact of U.S. sanctions in case Islamabad initiates the much-delayed Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline.
You're listening to The Subcontinent, broadcast by IRIB English Radio. This weekly program reviews ongoing developments in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. Listen to The Subcontinent here on IRIB English Radio.
Amidst a shared commitment to enhance economic cooperation, Pakistan and Iran have recently inaugurated the Mand Pishin Border Sustenance Marketplace. This new retail market, located in Mand town of Pakistan's Balochistan province and adjacent to Pishin city in Iran's Sisan and Balochistan province, marks a transformative step in bilateral trade between the two sides. Spanning across 10 acres of land, this marketplace holds immense potential for economic growth, fostering cross-border interactions and providing a platform with new avenues of opportunity for local businesses to thrive.
The historical ties between Pakistan and Iran have laid the foundation for this new chapter in economic cooperation. Mand, serving as a hub for small-scale border businesses, has been pivotal in connecting Balochistan's food and beverage industry to other districts and provinces of Pakistan. At the ceremony, Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif emphasized the significance of this milestone, stating that it's a new era in trade and business relations between the two brotherly countries. President Raisi, reaffirming Iran's commitment to enhancing ties with Pakistan, said that the country recognizes the Mand-Pishin border market as a valuable opportunity for economic growth and regional cooperation. He added that Iran considers the border with Pakistan as an opportunity rather than a threat, signaling a positive outlook towards fostering deeper economic collaboration between the two sides. The market's scope includes a diverse range of goods spanning from agricultural products, textiles, handicrafts, to household items. Economic analysts say that this increased economic activity will not only benefit local businesses, but also contribute to the overall economic development of the border regions. Beyond economic significance, this market also acts as a physical manifestation of the long-standing connection between the two neighbors, promoting cultural exchange and fostering a sense of shared heritage.
In another significant display of regional cooperation, Iran and Pakistan have jointly inaugurated the Poland-Gyat electricity transmission line alongside the Mand-Pishin border market. This transmission line, which spans across the border, is designed to carry an additional 100 megawatts of electricity from Iran to Pakistan, supplementing the existing 132 kilovolts Macron Division electricity transmission line. This collaboration aims to meet the energy requirements of households and businesses in Balochistan, having a significant impact on this energy-strapped region's development.
Poland, located in Sistan Balochistan's port city of Chabahar, serves as the starting point of this transmission line, while Gap, situated on the Pakistani side, lies 87 kilometers from Gwadar, a crucial road in the multi-billion dollar China-Pakistan Economic Corridor project. This strategic location of the transmission line holds immense potential for regional connectivity and economic growth. The electricity transmission line was inaugurated alongside the Mand-Pishin border market, highlighting the comprehensive nature of Pakistan-Iran cooperation. While the border market serves as a vibrant hub for trade and economic activities, the electricity transmission line reinforces the energy infrastructure, ensuring the efficient transmission of electricity between the two countries. During the joint inauguration ceremony, Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif stressed on the significance of this energy collaboration, terming these projects as emblematic of the vitality of Pakistan-Iran friendship. He reiterated the commitment to strengthen bilateral ties and expand cooperation in the energy sector.
He also emphasized Islamabad's intention to negotiate the signing of a free trade agreement with Tehran, aiming to unlock new horizons of trade and foster greater economic integration. According to foreign affairs analysts, the establishment of the market and the inauguration of the transmission line mark significant milestones in the journey of Iran and Pakistan towards deeper economic cooperation.
Now, to have more insight on this, we are joined by journalist, writer, talk show host and columnist Mr. Farooq Khan Pitafi from Islamabad. First of all, welcome to the program, sir. Now, with the establishment of border markets along the Iran-Pakistan border, what will be the future trajectory of cross-border trade and economic growth in the region?
Right. Regarding the bilateral trade, the trajectory is going to be upward. It is important to remember that Balochistan, especially the province that is adjacent to Iran, constitutes somewhere around 44% of Pakistani territorial landmass. So there are areas which are not covered by Pakistan's domestic market, especially Makran area and the border areas with Iran. For starters, it is going to bring, upward economic movement in those areas, especially because the terrain in Makran region is really, really, infertile. That is why we have to import a lot of, goods and services from other areas. I think that this will provide the local population, the local solutions, which are next door to them. This is for starters. But later on, I think that given the paltry trade volume between the two countries, which are actually juxtaposed and which are neighbors, right? Quite a long border they have. So I think that in coming days, it is going to improve the bilateral trade and regional trade quite effectively.
Mr. Pitafi, to what extent has the Poland-Gap electricity transmission line addressed the energy needs of Balochistan, and what is its potential contribution to the overall economic development of the region?
Right. Regarding the regional cooperation in energy, it is very crucial, especially because, as I pointed out, that these areas, especially the Makran belt and the areas adjacent to Gwadar, are not that much accessible to Pakistan's infrastructure. The biggest problem recently when I visited Gwadar was electricity. We are already importing somewhere around 104 megawatt of electricity from Iran, because the Pakistani grid is still 100 kilometers away from Gwadar. So the biggest problem there was, especially because the water table is down as well, it is very deep, and you have to dig a lot to get water. Similarly, other amenities are also linked with electricity. The fact that Pakistan could not provide electricity to Gwadar was a humongous problem. So now, with the inauguration of this new transmission line, the total import of electricity goes north of 200 megawatt, which is great, especially because even only in Gwadar itself, the consumption need is at least 150 megawatts.
Mr. Pitafi, in terms of regional stability, what role does the Poland-Gap electricity transmission line play in fostering greater cooperation between Pakistan and Iran?
Well, Pakistan and Iran are two peas in a pod. They are culturally interlinked that their border areas, these areas that we are talking about, on Pakistani side, it is called Balochistan, and I told you how big part of Pakistan this territory is. Similarly, in Iran also, it is called Balochistan Wasistan. We have so much in common. And when you look at the numbers of trade volume, the most frustrating part was that it has never gone upward of $3 billion. At this moment, I think it is below $1 billion. So the first thing that is important is whenever you're trading, whenever you're working together, it brings prosperity to these regions. And that ensures that the resentment or the complaints or the lack of satisfaction in the local masses actually goes away. This is very important because I can't say about, Iranian region, but I can talk about our region. I'm an ethnic Baloch, and I can tell you how much there's this feeling that this region has not prospered or benefited from the Pakistani story.
Last but not least, Mr. Patafi, how do you see the Manpishin border market contributing to the overall economic integration and regional cooperation between Pakistan and Iran?
Before government change in Afghanistan, there was talk of cooperation border towns between Afghanistan and Pakistan, which could actually ensure that there is some kind of cooperation there, and there can be collective production of goods and services. Although that changed with whatever happened in Afghanistan. With Iran, we have better circumstances because the border is stable, because both countries can work together. And this is one start. There are going to be six similar markets, right? This is only one of them. So in coming days, I'm hoping that we can actually bring together cooperation to such an extent that Pakistan, Iran, can produce together. They can also provide to each other whatever goods and services that are needed. I hear that Pakistani mangoes are very popular in Iran, and Iran imports a significant part of that from Pakistan. Similarly, there was a time I'm told that our basmati rice was also imported from Pakistan. These are, unfinished goods. These are essentially commodities. But when we start working with value addition, and when we can actually produce the things that are needed by the other side, I think that the potential of such markets is infinite. It is going to bring the countries together. Our hearts are already together.
There you have it, journalist, writer, talk show host and columnist Mr. Farooq Khan Pitafi from Islamabad. Thank you for being on the program, sir. Now let's see what people have to say on social media.
Sajjad Nusrati tweeted, "After the numerous agreements between Iran and Russia in the past days, it was Pakistan's turn today. Iran and Pakistan opened a joint border market today. Pakistan Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif said that Iran-Pakistan trade will reach $5 billion. Dania Wahid tweeted, "The Manpishin joint border market is a symbol of the flourishing trade ties between Pakistan and Iran. Today's meeting between PM Shehbaz Sharif and President Ibrahim Raisi highlights the commitment to further strengthen economic cooperation." Ehsan Zafar Bakhtawari tweeted, "The resumption of border trade between Pakistan and Iran is great news for Pakistan's troubled economy. The establishment of border market will create employment opportunities on both sides. This step from both governments has long-term consequences. The work on Pak Iran." Akhtar Rana tweeted, "Marketplace is the first of six to be constructed along the Pakistan-Iran border under a 2012 agreement signed by the two sides. Top leaders of Pakistan, Iran inaugurate border market in their first meeting in 10 years.
And that was our episode on the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline delay because of the defective U.S. policies and a new chapter in the Iran-Pakistan trade through the opening of a border market and electricity transmission line. We shall meet again next week. So till then, take care.
ربنا ربنا ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.